You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. My subject tonight, the marks of a great man. It's been said that you are marked by the company that you keep. You're marked by the company you keep. You heard it said that birds of a feather, what? Feather. Flock together. Yes. So character and honor and godliness and success, they are not an accident. The choices that you make in life, they will determine your lot in life. A great man is marked by certain characteristics. I want to look at this man, Joseph, tonight because he was a great man in God's kingdom. You can't find any flaws in his life. He's a type of Christ. So a great man is marked by certain characteristics. Look at Psalms 37 and 7. It says, mark the perfect man, or mark the blameless man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. In other words, the future of the blameless man, those that serve God and have godly character, the end of that man is peace. So not only are we marked by the company that we keep, but we're marked by the character that we develop. The story of Joseph is one of the greatest stories in the Bible, and it illustrates this principle. And I want to look at his life tonight and see what was it that made this man so great. Against all odds, this man achieved his God-given destiny. Against all odds. Joseph was a remarkable man. He was a man of great character. Joseph lived a godly life, and you and I can learn some great lessons from his life. I like to take the characters in the Bible and look at them and say, what was it that made that person so pliable in God's hands? What was it? What were the characteristics? What were the qualities in that person's life where they were able to flow in the anointing and the Spirit of God? There are seven great marks of character that distinguish Joseph's life. It's God's perfect number, so we chose seven. We can glean some valuable truths from his life. What made him great? Have you ever thought about that? I hope to answer that question tonight. My subject, the marks of a great man. I've given you a handout. If you don't have one, raise your hand and the ushers will bring you one. My subject, the marks of a great man. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to search the Word of God, to learn, glean truths, Lord, from great people that have gone before us, people, Lord, that you had your prophets write about. You had those that penned the Word of God give us information about their lives so we could grow in grace and knowledge, so we could become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Open our hearts tonight. Give us revelation. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Step number one to greatness. You must love truth and hate evil. You have to love truth and hate evil. The Bible talks about Jesus said, because there has loved righteousness and hated iniquity, God has anointed you above all of your fellows. He had the Spirit without measure. So we want to be like Jesus, but we know he was the perfect man. But what marked these other people in the Old Testament and the New Testament? We read about Joseph in Genesis 37:2. Genesis 37:2 says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock of his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. The first step Joseph took toward greatness was, he said, I will walk with God and I will be a good man. I'm not going to be evil like those around me. I am going to make good quality decisions. So the first step that you must take toward greatness is that you must determine that you're going to live a life to please God. Now, you can't do that as a sinner because the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And as a sinner, you do some things because you have a sinful nature that you thought, why in the world would I ever do that? I can remember thinking that many times. But as someone has been born again, you have God's divine nature. You have his righteousness. And so you're a new creature in Christ. And so God gives us the strength to walk in greatness. Joseph loved God and Joseph hated evil. So Joseph came to his father one day and he reported that his half-brothers, that they were out doing evil. These half-brothers, they were the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's concubines. This family was a blended family, I tell you. They were all mixed up. And those 12 sons, they were used by God greatly, but I tell you, they have some major flaws in their life. But Joseph hated evil, and he would not go along with their evil doings. Something inside of Joseph was right. And he told his daddy about it. He said, "Daddy, these boys, they get out there, they're killing, they're stealing, they lie, and they're committing adultery. They're doing all types of evil, Daddy." He said, "That's a bad bunch of boys you got. And they're going to bring trouble to this family." And Jacob, he confronted his sons with the information, and they asked, "Who told you?" Well, they knew who he told. It was Joseph, because they knew Joseph's character. And Joseph was in trouble, not for doing wrong, but Joseph was in trouble for doing right. It will cost you sometimes to do what is right. But if you're going to live a godly life, you will have to love truth and you'll have to hate evil. You will have to stand sometimes against the tide. You'll have to say, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to participate in that. I'm a Christian. I've been born again, and I refuse to give myself over to the works of darkness." So first of all, you know, you've got to love truth and hate evil. Secondly, you must know your destiny. Think about this. God can put it in your heart when you're in your teens, and you can know your destiny, and you can know that you can walk with God. The problem that most of us have is God puts something in our heart and we walk away from God, but not this man Joseph. For some people, you know, it comes in the teens. For some people, it comes later in life. But Joseph knew his destiny when he was 17 years of age because of a dream that God gave him. Look at Genesis 37 and 8. His brethren said unto him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" They hated him yet the more for his dream and for his words. Joseph had a dream, and in his dream, his older brother's corn, it bowed down to Joseph's corn, and he was their younger brother, and they hated him for his dream and for the words. Sometimes people, because of jealousy, if you have a great destiny on your life, they will despise you. And you just have to learn to love those type of people. And you just have to keep on walking with God in love and knowing that God has his hand upon your life. You see, jealousy is a cruel thing. The Bible says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And sometimes, think about it, even your family will try to push you down, to push you back, to discourage you, and to make fun of you. Sometimes families, they don't see the greatness that is in you. When Moses came off the mountaintop with the Ten Commandments in his hand, he looked at his brother Aaron, and all he saw was an idol worshiper. God saw a high priest. Hallelujah. Some people can look at you, and all they see is someone that messed up. God might look at you and see a preacher, a song leader, a Sunday school teacher, a great witness. You don't know what God will see. You have a tremendous influence once God touches your hand, your life. And sometimes in greatness, you just have to rise above the people around you. You just have to, not in arrogance, but in humility, you just say, "I know my destiny. I am not going to participate in that." If God puts a vision in your heart, let me tell you something. Keep it there, because you will have to rise above people that try to put you down. I've had a lot of people try to stop me in life, and I'm sure you've experienced the same thing. But if you have a goal, if you have a dream, you didn't manufacture it. God gave it to you. God is the dream maker. Amen. So point number one, tell the truth. Tell the story straight, because God cannot bless people who are not right in their heart, who don't do right, and who are not sincere. Secondly, you must know your destiny. God can tell you what it is, and God can move you toward that destiny. I've had a dream in my heart for years. I don't share it with everybody. I just know what God has shown me, and I know what my destiny is. I know what yours is, too. Ultimately, it's walls of jasper and gates of pearl and streets of pure, transparent gold. Our destiny is heaven. So we're on a journey. We got some tough things to overcome at times, but hallelujah. We know who we believe in, and we know he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask according to the power working in us. And that power many times is this word, the word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Look at Genesis 37 and 4. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. He had a coat of many colors. If God gives you a coat of many colors, guess what? People will hate you. They will. They'll dislike you. Look at verse 5, Genesis 37, 5. Joseph dreamed a dream. He told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Joseph had a problem with his brothers and his family, not because he was bad, but because Joseph was good. There was something inside of Joseph where he loved God, and he just wanted to do right. So Joseph's second step toward achievement was actually a negative step. He saw a vision, he understood his destiny, and it caused people around him to misunderstand him. So don't think everybody is going to like you and love you when God gives you a dream and God puts greatness in your heart. If God puts something in your heart that he wants you to do, everybody's not going to understand it. They will not understand you and the dream that you have. Sometimes leaders are often the most misunderstood people of all. So if you're going to be a great leader, you just have to accept the fact sometimes you're going to be misunderstood. Not for doing bad, but for doing good. And that just comes with doing something for the Lord sometimes. Joseph had a dream from God. They had no idea that Joseph was going to save a nation. They did not understand Joseph. They hated him for his dream. They didn't know that their destiny was tied to the greatness of their younger brother. And you know how families are. Wow, he's the younger one. You know, when David was chosen to be the king, they brought all the brothers in except for David. And the prophet Samuel, he had to ask Jesse, he said, "Is this all of your boys?" He said, "Oh, yeah, there's one more." He said, "Surely you don't want to talk to him." He said, "He's the runt in the family. He's out there taking care of the sheep. Surely you don't want to talk to my younger son, David." And David comes in, and as soon as he walked, the prophet said, "I'm not eating till you get him here." And as soon as he walks in, the oil began to flow. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, "He's the one. Anoint him." Hallelujah. So God is a good God. And when God chooses you, he chooses you for greatness. And guess what? You're chosen. He said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name," Jesus said, "he'll give it to you." Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. He's a great God. So Joseph, he had a problem with his brothers. He had a dream from God. Step number one, tell the truth. Step number two, you must know your destiny. And step number three, you must know that God will preserve you. Joseph's brothers, they were out tending the herds, and Jacob sent his son Joseph out to check on them. Look at Genesis 37:18. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said, "We're going to kill him." My Lord, what kind of family is that? But God wouldn't permit them to do that. But they hated him. That's what hate will do. It will make you do some terrible things. So if you have it in your heart for anybody, the Bible says, forgive. Said, because your Father, which is in heaven, he can't forgive you till you forgive. Forgiveness is one of the greatest powers on planet Earth. Those three words, Father, forgive them. When Jesus said that, boom, the doors of an old dispensation slammed shut, the dispensation of the law, and God's doors to amazing grace was open wide. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And we're to be like Jesus. And that's one of the characteristics of someone like the Lord. They saw him afar off. They conspired to to kill him. Look at Genesis 30, verse 27. They said, come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dream. They have no idea that their destiny is tied to this man who God gave a dream to. They were trying to stop God. And when you try to stop God, you are in big, big trouble. Hallelujah. You can't stop God. God can do anything that he chooses to do. He can choose anyone that he chooses to use. And you can't stop God. No one can. So when God gives you a dream, don't let anybody stop you. I love the little poem that says, great it is to dream a dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to live life through and say at the end, the dream came true. See, God gives you the dream, and God is the dream maker. And so when God puts it in your heart, do everything you can to achieve that dream. Don't let anything, any circumstance, anything stop you if God has given you a dream. Study, pray, seek God, treat people right, develop good character in you, go to the Bible and pray. Pray way into the night if you have. There have been some nights I've had to go and just pray way into the night just to get my spirit right. I've had people that have wronged me, and you have too. It happens to all of us. The devil will see to it. He's trying to stop your destiny. Don't let him do that. You have to pray until you get over that thing. You'll get offended at people, and you just have to be honest with God. And I had it happen. I said, God, I just got to be honest. I cannot go to the place of offense. God says, if you go to that place, he said, I'm not going there with you. He said, to forgive, and don't let anybody set up an offense that keeps you from loving them. Don't, in other words, don't let your happiness be in somebody else's head. Let your happiness be between you and God. Look at Genesis 37:24. Now, they're going to slay him. They took him. They took Joseph, cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So we find this man who was dreaming of greatness and honor, Joseph. We find him in a pit out in the middle of a desert. What in the world's going to become of his dream? It looks like there's no hope for Joseph. Sometimes people who are destined for greatness, they go through some hard times. And that just comes with the territory. You have to know that man that is born of woman is few of days and full of troubles. But you also got to know there's no temptation, test, or trial taken you, but such is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted, tested, or tried above that which you are able, but will with every temptation, test, or trial, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God will give you the strength. He will give you what you need to sustain you at that moment. He's a great God, and he hasn't forgotten any of us. I promise you that. He said, lo, I'm with you always. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And let me tell you this. He has not forgotten your children. He has not forgotten anything about you. He knows you're lying down. He knows you're rising up. And if you'll keep praying and I'll keep praying, what God has promised, we will obtain the promise. It may not come the way we want it, but I tell you what, God will see to it. And I've watched him over my lifetime, impossible situations, I've watched God change them. You know, Abraham Lincoln, he lost more elections than he ever won. He ran for office many times, and he lost. He was not a winner every time. He just wasn't. But each time that he went down, he got a little more solid. Every time you go down and something knocks the wind out of yourself, when you come back up stronger. I've told the devil many times, I said, you're crazy to mess with me like that. Because when I go down, I'm going to go to my knees, I'm going to call on the name of my God, and I'm coming up strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and I'm going to be a much greater threat to your kingdom. You are crazy to mess with me like that. Just get that warrior spirit in your insides, and don't let anything stop you. If God has given you a dream, it will come true. If you're praying right and living right, praise God, it's going to happen. Amen. So, do what God wants you to do. When your faith is tried, it should build character into you. You know, the Bible says the trying of your faith is more precious to God than gold that perisheth. And after you've done the will of the Father, you shall receive the promise. So many times what God is doing in the tests and trials of life, He's building greatness into us. He's teaching us how to be more like Jesus, teaching us how to trust Him, teaching us, you know, He's able to work all things to our good. God may not have sent it your way. It didn't come. God might have allowed it, but God is the good God. The devil's the bad devil. That's why I tell the devil, I said, you're crazy to mess with me like this. Because I'm going to learn. I'm going to the book. I'm going on my knees. I will fast and I will pray and push the plate away. And when I come up, I'm going to be stronger than I was when I went down. Hallelujah. So your faith will be tried. Joseph was thrown into a pit. It was dark down there. Think about being in a pit, a dark pit. Wasn't any water in there. He would have drowned. They'd have drowned the boy if it had been water in there. But that darkness, it did not change the insides of Joseph. When dark moments come and dark shadows of life overtake you, don't let it change you. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the Bible says that his anger, I love that part about that verse. Most preachers don't quote that. His anger endures but a moment. Even if you messed up, God said his anger is but a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. You are blessed and highly favored of God. His favor's on you and you are favored for a lifetime. And in the test and trials of life, you've got to know that if I'm in a season of weeping, I'm headed for my sudden season of joy, because weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Don't look at the circumstances. Look unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, and you will come out strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and you'll be a blessing to somebody else. Amen? Hallelujah. Joseph knew that God had his hand upon his life. That right there, my friends, will cause you to live right. There are others that are looking at you. I'll never forget when I first got saved. I said, Lord, help me to live this Christian life. I want people to be able to look at my life and say, that's a man of God. And some of them say, oh, I knew him when. Well, so what? Have you lived right since you got saved? I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. I can remember going to the hospital. I tell on myself, and there was a girl on the security gate. And I handed her my card. I didn't even have preaching credentials. But I had a card to go to the hospital and pray for the sick. She said, are you Jerry Nelson? I said, I am. She said, are you the Jerry Nelson I used to know? I said, well, I am, but I'm not. I said, I'm a brand new creation in Christ. She took my card, handed it back to me, and said, get on out of here. Hallelujah. But see, I kept going to that hospital, and I kept witnessing her. And I told her one day, I said, your friend, guess what? She gave her heart to Jesus. Get on out of here. Hallelujah. Let your light shine. Amen. Step number four, you have to have faith, and you have to believe in greatness. You have to have faith. All of us have failed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And those saints with long sanctimonious noses that never did anything, there's no greatness in them. They have absolutely no idea what the captive is going through. They cannot set the captive free. Those that have hearts and compassion for people that are hurting and are broken, the sighing, the crying, and the dying, they're the people that Jesus will use to set the captive free and work his miracles through. Because Jesus saw the multitude and he was touched with compassion. Why? Because they were people without a shepherd. And these religious, sanctimonious people, God help them. I hope they make it to heaven. Hallelujah. That's free. Step number four, you have to have faith and believe in greatness. Joseph's brothers were ready to kill him. Can you imagine how discouraged he felt? Can you imagine how emotionally he felt? Your family ready to kill you? Look at Genesis 37:25. They sat down to eat, and they filled their eyes. They lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, carrying it down to Egypt. These Ishmaelites, guess what? They were his cousins too. This is a whole family affair going on here. Ishmael was the son of Jacob, and these were his cousins. The whole group was family. Look at Genesis 37:26. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, verse 27, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. You know, one person in the group can speak up and lead the whole group astray. Watch the company you keep. I'll never forget, I was on jury duty, and this young boy come in there, and his two friends, this young boy had his preacher, and he had two school teachers, some great character witnesses. And the young boy got mixed up with the wrong company, and they were drinking. And he got drunk. He'd never drank anything in his life, and passed out in the back seat. And while they were passed out in the back seat, his two friends robbed a little restaurant. And he's asleep. And I'm on the jury, and his lawyer did a plea bargain. And when he did that, the judge, I thought he was a mighty harsh judge, he said, 20 years for every one of you, all three of them. And all that boy ever did was got drunk and was with bad company. And the witnesses said this. They all agreed to it. But because of where he was and the fact they used a weapon and armed robbery, they sent all of them to prison. You got 20 years. So God has a purpose and a plan for your life. There's an overriding destiny that can put you where God wants you. God can elevate you. People try to repress you, but God is a good God. And if God wants to get you somewhere, God will elevate you. I've had people try to repress me many times, but if God is for us, who can be against us? So if you're in a place of repression, it's because you have made yourself comfortable there. Let me say that again. If you're in a place of repression and depression, and you feel like I'm stuck here and I can't get out of this place, the only reason you're there is because you have made yourself comfortable there. If you're living in a pit of failure, guess what? You got there yourself. And you don't need to blame it on your family. That's what our culture wants to do, blame somebody else. You don't need to blame it on the people around you. Just make up your mind to be something different, to do something different, and come out of that situation that you're in. Make right decision. I remember when I came home from Vietnam, I cannot tell you how many times doors were shut in my face. I was determined to make something of my life, and I was determined to come out of that thing. But everywhere I went, doors were slammed in my face. But no one can repress you if you decide to get up. I wanted to go to Appalachian State, and the man shut the door in my face, slammed it in my face, would not let me. I had 2 years of college to transfer because I didn't have one course, geometry. He wanted me to go to school somewhere else, come back in, and then take the course. I said, let me take it, and then I can't make the exception. I said, sir, I am the exception. I serve my country. I deserve a chance. But he slammed the door in my face. 30 years later, guess what? I walked through that door inside of my child, Jessica. Graduated summa cum laude. Went to work in the child development center inside of that child. Got a master's degree inside of that child. Today, she's an adjunct professor at Appalachian State, soon getting her doctorate degree. And if they can't give her, she teaches three courses, and if they gave her one more course to teach, they'd have to make her full time, but they can't do that because she doesn't have a doctorate degree yet. But I'm inside of that little girl. God didn't plan for me. See, I didn't understand my destiny at that time. God did not plan for me to be in Boone, North Carolina. God had a plan for me to be in Wilson, North Carolina. God had a church waiting for me. He did. And in my brokenness, I moved right across the street, 704 Kenan Street, where this church started on 607 Kenan Street, right across the street. Something inside of that place, I said, man, I need God. I need just go to church. Somebody in there had been praying, and God put me right in that place, and the church that was started right across the street, God had destined for me to come to that church 25 years later. I didn't understand it at the time. Hallelujah. 25 years I've been here, rather. No one can stop you but you. That's what I want you to understand. If you believe you can do something, you can do it, and it's just that simple. He was a boy named Joseph. He was sold as a slave, and guess what? He died as a slave. We have no record of Joseph ever becoming a free man as long as he lived. He arrived in a foreign country. There he was sold to a man named Potiphar. He was the captain of the king's guard. He was sold into a family that had high social standings. God can put you in a place to get you where he wants you. God was grooming him. God was getting him ready for greatness. And the first thing that Joseph did, smart boy, he learned their language. He learned to speak the Egyptian language. He was a clever man. Joseph, however, he had to start at the bottom. Most people don't want to start at the bottom. My wife told me what Pastor Ricky said about the commode Sunday. We went in there and somebody had jammed toilet paper down in there, and I tried to take it out with a device. I couldn't get it out. So finally, I just took my hand and reached down in that commode and pulled that thing out. There's a wad of paper about that big, wrung it out and threw it in the trash can and flushed the commode, and it went on down. Pastor Ricky said, I learned a new appreciation for Pastor Nelson today. Hallelujah. But, you know, when your best is not good enough, what I'm trying to say is this, do what's required. When your best is not good enough, do what's required. And sometimes it's just not pleasant, okay? Hallelujah. So Joseph, he started at the bottom. He cleaned up the cesspools. He cleaned up all the dirty spots. He took all the garbage out. He took work that nobody else would do. The successful man in life, this is one of 20 little things I learned in the business world. The successful man in life is the man that does more than is necessary and keeps on doing it. The successful woman or person is the person that does more than is necessary and keeps on doing it. So finally, Potiphar realized just how smart and how productive Joseph was, and he promoted him. Joseph was honest. Joseph didn't steal. Guess what? He wouldn't let others steal either. And so he promoted him again until finally Joseph was the head of the house next to Potiphar. The Bible says that he accumulated so much wealth for Potiphar that Potiphar didn't even have time to count his money. How would you like to have somebody working for you that made so much money for you? They were so clever and such a good business person and had an anointing on their life from God, and you didn't even know how wealthy you were, and this person was earning you all this wealth. Get connected to people that have greatness in them. Don't get connected with losers. Get connected to people that have a destiny, that are going somewhere. If you see a great anointing, I have people call me all the time. I see this and that, and I don't understand. You know, if you see something on a person's life and that's what you want it, connect yourself to that person. And guess what? It'll come on you. The anointing is transferable. And I love to see gifts on people. Hallelujah. So Joseph was the head of that house next to Potiphar. The Bible says he accumulated A lot of wealth there. Joseph brought such prosperity to Potiphar's house that he didn't even know. Potiphar didn't know what he was worth. Only Joseph knew that. I'd like to have somebody working for me like that I could really trust. You know, you don't find many people in life like that you can trust with money. I'll tell you what. It'll separate a lot of friends, separates a lot of family, doesn't it? You better believe it. Joseph may have thought, well, I'm at the top finally, but he wasn't. God had to take him down again in order to bring him up. Step number five, you must not be depressed and discouraged during times of trial. That's a hard one to overcome because we all have human emotions and we all feel like, well, I've been done wrong. But if God has a destiny for you, a lot of things that happened in my life, I didn't understand them at the time. But, you know, looking back, I can see, well, God was in all of that, Jerry, and he was working it all to your good all the time. Step number five, you must not be depressed and discouraged during times of trial. Look at Genesis 39 and 7. It came to pass after this thing that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused, verse 8, said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what it is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hands. There is none greater in the house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Look at that. He said, I can't do this. I can't sin against God. God's been so good to me. What would others think? What would happen to my destiny? What would happen to my dream if I did this wicked thing? And he said, it's a sin against God. Joseph had a pure heart. And this adulterous woman, she desired him. No doubt he was a handsome man. No doubt he had the look of purity. And no doubt she was a beautiful woman. Wouldn't have been a temptation if she hadn't have been, would it? Here's a young man that his master's off working. He's all alone in that house with her. She's pursuing him and keeps pursuing him. Yet he says no. And this woman whose husband was away fighting because he was the captain of the guard, this woman tried to get Joseph to sleep with her. Joseph said, no. I can't do that. My master has given me everything that he has except for you. No, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So that's a sermon right there. I've seen preachers, and preachers have to be especially careful because sometimes things start in innocence. They start out looking very innocent. But then the devil has a way of weaving things and corrupting things and putting temptations out there. God's wisest man, Solomon. God's strongest man, Samson. God's best man, David. They all fell to the flirting eyes of a woman, which tells me that no man, no matter how wise he is, no matter how strong he is, no matter how much he loves God, he does not need to let his eyes behold something that God has forbidden. Because if you do, you're on your way down. If God's best man and God's strongest man and God's wisest man fail, don't think you can stand. The Bible says, if any man think he stand, take heed lest he fall. I've known some great preachers that have fallen into that trap. And you have to protect yourself. Because the devil, he will pursue you if you pursue that type of lifestyle. The pure in heart shall see God. It's just that simple. We have to protect ourselves. The Bible says she pursued after him. Lust is a mean thing. And lust is a wicked thing. And guess what? Lust and hate, they are twins. Let me say that again. Lust and hate, they are twins. I want you to look back on your life. Finally, she grabbed him. She said, come to bed with me. And when Joseph tried to run and flee, she grabbed his coat. He slipped out of his coat and ran. Then hate became lust, and lust turned into hate. She began to cry. She began to scream, and she called her servants and said, who owns this coat? They said, Joseph. She said, he attacked me, and you are all witnesses of it. They weren't witnesses of anything. They hadn't seen a thing. Yet they agreed and said, yes, that's right. We saw it. They hadn't seen anything. And when the master of the house came home, they all lied. And his love for Joseph, it was gone. A man, when you touch his wife, there's something inside of him that he will, it brings a rage on him. The Bible talks about it. I can't pull the scripture up right now, but she said, the man that owned this coat, he attacked me, and they agreed. They were all liars. Joseph hadn't attacked anybody. These servants hadn't seen anything. See, the world is a yes world. Yes, yes, I saw it. Yes, yes, he did. Yes, he did. See, if you are God's man, he will elevate you and he will promote you, and promotion comes from God. But you got to stay pure. You got to stay clean. And the same thing for women. If your promotion comes from God, guess what? Nobody can take it from you. If God sets you up, nobody can take you down. Nobody. Nobody. When God elevates a man, God puts him there, and there are steps that he took to get there. There are principles that he lived by to get there. And God promoted him. And when God promotes you, guess what? You're there. It's just that simple. Hallelujah. Potiphar was so angry that he put Joseph in prison. But he must have loved Joseph, because the Bible says he put him in the king's prison. Look at Genesis 39:20. It said, and Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, a place where the king's prisons were bound. And he was there in prison. Now Joseph was in jail. He's in prison. But he was a rare person. He had some rare qualities. When he got into that dirty Egyptian jail, he didn't sit down and say, well, I thought I was on my way up, but I'm down. I've lost everything now. He didn't sit down. He didn't moan and he didn't groan. As far as we can tell, when he arrived in that jail, he began to clean out the dirt. He began to clean out the rats. He began to clean up the cooking pots so that the food would taste better. He began to season the food. He began to make the prisoners to wash themselves. He cleaned the whole place up. And in a short period of time, they had a first-class jail. And the jailer could leave it all with Joseph, gave him the keys to the jail cell. Hallelujah. See, you can't stop greatness when it's inside of a man. You just can't do it. He will always rise, like self-rising flour. Hallelujah. You put him down, put the heat to him, he's just going to rise. Hallelujah. Joseph was a rare man. Put him in jail, he ruled the jail. He had them singing, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Can you imagine the whole jail cell singing? It was good enough for mother. It was good enough for daddy. It was good enough for grandma. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. He had them all singing. Hallelujah. Joseph ruled that place. Amen. Some of us, if we have a problem, we lose a job, or something negative happens, we become depressed and discouraged. But people, you know, just go to the bottom. They say, well, I'm at the bottom. I guess it's my destiny in life. I'll always be here. No, 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 no. If you want to get up, you can. Anybody can get up. Hallelujah. God can do a lot for you if you let him. Joseph kept the faith, and he knew God was for him. God was on his side. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Number six, you must understand spiritual things. Joseph interpreted a dream. It came to pass, Genesis 41, it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt And his baker had offended their lord, the king. The king was dissatisfied with the butler, and the baker had him thrown in jail. Joseph interpreted the dream of the butler and said, "You're going to live." Well, when the baker heard that, he thought, "Well, I'll have him interpret my dream too." He said, "You're going to die." And it turned out just the way Joseph said it would be. And Joseph told the butler, "Tell the king that I'm in prison." He forgot about Joseph. Sometimes people will forget you after they promise you great things. I've had people promise me things in the business world, and they left with my promise. It looked like it would never happen. I got passed over twice for the purchasing manager's position. But you know what? God was grooming me. God was teaching me. God was showing me how to humble myself, that I didn't have to push my way to get to the top. God spoke to me out of Psalms, and he said, "Promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. God is the judge. He puts down one. He sets up another." I told my wife, I said, "That position is mine." God spoke to me. Well, it didn't come right away. I told her, I said, "I don't understand why I didn't get it." I said, "But I know what God said. That position is mine." They put another man there. He's a good friend of mine today. Both of them are. God spoke to me. He said, "I want you to help them." And what I was learning was to submit to the authority above me and to work with people that God had put there to teach me some lessons. You can learn some great things if you keep a humble spirit. And when the right time came, guess what? The controller came down to my office and said, "Jerry, we want you to take the purchasing manager's position." Here's his words. These are his words. "We know who's been doing the job anyway." But see, God was grooming me. God was training me to be a pastor. And I had to go through that. And you just have to trust God. That's what I'm trying to say. So it was the making of Joseph being a great person. So when he was 30 years of age, Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And Joseph interpreted the dream, and he said, "There's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine." And he said that those corn you see is going to grow, and then the famine's going to eat up the fat corn and the fat calves. The famine's going to eat them up. And so he interpreted the dream, and so listen to what Genesis 41:38. Joseph said, "You need a man that can manage all this. You need someone that has wisdom, knows how to manage." Well, look at the man's track record. You reckon it had gotten to the king by now, that he was in Potiphar's house and what he did there. He was in the prison, what he did there. And he tells the king his dream. Look at the greatness that's inside of this man, only because of God. Genesis 41:38. Pharaoh said unto his servant, "Can we find such a one as this man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all of this," he said, "you're the man." So Pharaoh made Joseph the complete boss over the entire thing. He was second in command to Pharaoh. Step number 7, you must have a divine revelation from God on where you're headed. Joseph had a divine revelation from God that brought him into greatness. He came from God. Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Joseph gave the interpretation. One day, coming down the beautiful red carpet into the quarters there, the king's palace, Joseph's brothers, they come in. He saw 10 men. They were all his brothers. They had on the same old goat skins. They had the same smell about them. They hadn't achieved a thing. Nothing. They came and they bowed and they kneeled at his feet. And Joseph remembered his dream that he had when he was 17 years of age. When they found out who he was, they were afraid. They were ashamed of what they had done to Joseph. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good in order to save you. So bring my father and bring my younger brother and the rest of the family to Egypt, and I'll take care of them." He gave them the most fertile part of the land, Goshen there, next to the Nile River. They multiplied from 70 people to about 3 million when God sent a deliverer, Moses. That's another story. But look at the greatness of this man named Joseph, a man that walked with God, a man that had good qualities in his life. What can we learn from this? That the marks of a great man, we need to love truth and hate evil. We need to be like Jesus. We need to treat people right. You meant it for evil. You meant to hurt me. You meant to harm me. But God's hand was on me all the time. You be my brothers, and I love you. Let us stand.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give
great
myself away
to dream a dream. When you stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to live life through and say at the end, the dream came true. Young people can learn some great things because as I reflect back over my life and the places God has carried me through, I had to keep my insides right. Many times it meant prayer and fasting, but I knew my destiny. I knew the call. And when God touches your life, don't let anything deter you. You can't know these things until you live them out. I've lived them out. So connect yourself with people that have some biblical wisdom. Young people, don't think you know everything. I hate to tell you this. You don't. You can learn a lot from godly people. And that can make your destiny what God has purposed for your life. I give myself away, Lord. I don't want anything, Lord, to stop what you purpose for my life. Pray that to the Lord.
So
all of us can look back on our lives and we can see those turning points, those moments where if I had done the wrong thing, it would have ended up totally different. Those that are led of the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah.
Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I pray them in your hands. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can